for coming. We hope that you'll come back every time you have opportunity to be with us. We encourage you to take your Bibles out and make sure that what you're hearing is in harmony with the Bible. We're going to try our very best to give book, chapter, and verse for the things that we say, not go beyond it, not fall short of it. And if you feel that I have, you don't hesitate to let me know that. And if I'm wrong about it, I'll make correction of it and never preach it again. That heaven will be my eternal home. I appreciate the good prayers that were led, and I appreciate you mentioning me in those prayers. Appreciate the good song service. Tom did a very good job with that. And I also want to say I appreciate all those who have been so kind as Tracy has been down with her surgery. She's having a good recovery. I appreciate your prayers and your visits, your phone calls, and appreciate the food that several of you have provided and your willingness to watch the kids. Appreciate Ann and the kids for doing that, and Gene and Mary for watching them while she was having surgery, and I appreciate you being willing to do that. That means a whole lot to us. I put the title of the lesson on the board before you, Precious Things. Our text came from Isaiah 39, verses 1 and 2. The Bible has a lot to say about that which is precious. In fact, it's a word that is found at least 72 times in the Bible. We live in, as I mentioned to you, I think it was Wednesday night, in what's referred to as a holiday season. And it's a time when so many are caught up in materialistic things. Maybe you had an opportunity to listen to some of the radio program on 101.1. We talked about that for a little short while this morning. But it's a busy time of the year. It's a time when folks are busy getting and receiving and doing things and visiting. And while there's nothing wrong with visiting, there's nothing wrong with doing good for other people. In fact, we're encouraged to do all the good that we can within our means and our opportunity to do that. But I tell you that we live in a very materialistically minded society, a very commercialized time. And I'm not going to say that it's any worse or better than it is now in years to come. Maybe those that were years gone by, those of you that have been living for a good while, you might can have more to say about that than I could on how times have changed. I tell you, growing up, we were so poor we didn't really realize that there was anything other than what few things we did have. But we certainly, as you see time going on, you see that folks are more and more busy about all that they can get their hands on many times. We live in a time when so many people lose the sense of what really is precious and what really is valuable. And what is precious and valuable and things that are really important are not always the things that I can touch. They're not always the things that I can hang on to or feel with my hands or see with my eyes. Or what I can store in a storage building or under the bed or in the closet or whatever the case may be. Those are not the lasting things. Certainly they're not. And they're not really the precious things. But I want us to direct our attention for just a little while about things that are precious according to the Bible. And maybe this will help all of us in this holiday season that we're in. If you were to look the word precious up, you would find that it just simply means something of great value, something that is precious to the person or of great value to the person that possesses it. And there may be things materialistically that you find very precious that may not be of worth or value to others. There may be things that I feel like are precious or valuable to me, but you won't have them. And so, in a lot of ways, with our goods, it really is that which is precious in the eyes of the beholder. But there are some things of which all of us ought to agree on are very precious that the Bible points out. And for starters, I'd like for us to come to the book of 1 Peter. A few of these are going to come from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 7. Peter pens that the trial of your faith, being much more precious, you might want to underscore precious. That's our first point. that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you about your faith this morning, and we understand the Bible uses the word faith in different ways, whether it's the faith, the gospel, or the faith of which is talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. But that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold which perisheth, how precious is faith to you? How would you answer that? In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 1, we pointed some of this out in our Bible class. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. That which you believe and hang on to, how precious is it to you? If we're talking about the faith by which a person is justified, faith in Christ, the gospel system, how special or precious is the gospel of Christ to you? Well, the fact that you're here this morning at least indicates in part, at least to a degree, how precious those things are to you. We know that there is but one faith, one gospel, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. In Acts chapter 13, but Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and verse 23, Paul said that he had persecuted in time past. The people had heard how that he had persecuted them in time past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Faith is something the Bible says is precious. Whether it's the faith that a person has or the faith of the gospel is something that is very precious. But there's a lot of other things the Bible talks about being precious. While you're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, notice what the Bible says in verse 19. Let's begin with verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Well, if we were not redeemed with those types of things, with tradition, we're not redeemed with gold, with silver, what are we redeemed by? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish and without spot. I make the point from time to time when I do some teaching about blood, there's been a lot of blood shed down through the ages of time. Think about that. All those animal sacrifices under the Old Testament law of Moses, blood that was shed by a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, but not a one of them, whether it's an animal sacrifice or blood shed by man, could do what the shed blood of Jesus can do. Because none of that could redeem me or you from our sin. The word redemption, the word redeemed, has the idea of something being purchased back, brought back. Had a price involved in it, being redeemed. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb. In what way? Without blemish and without spot. And so the blood of Christ, the Bible says, is precious, has purchasing power. Again, the idea of redemption. And so, what did it purchase? Well, it did us. The church is redeemed or purchased with the blood of Christ. I know that because the Bible says in Acts chapter 20. And in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased. What did he purchase it with? With his own blood. There's a lot of things that are accomplished with the blood of Jesus. I'll give you just a few of them. We have remission of sins by his blood, Matthew 26, 28. We're made nigh by the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 2 and in verse 13. Reconciled unto the Father by the shed blood of Jesus, Colossians 1, 20. Sanctified by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 13, verse 12. Justified by the blood of Christ, Romans 5, 9. Clean or cleansed by the blood of Christ, 1 John 1 and in verse 7. Washed by His blood, Revelation 1, 5. So is it any wonder in light of all those passages about the blood of Jesus that we would sing the invitation hymn from time to time, there's power in the blood? Think about what all the blood accomplishes. It's a very precious thing. A lot could be said about our Lord and about His blood. But you think about the fact that He did that which He did not have to do. God did that which He did not have to do. But He did it. Who did He do it for? All the way around the room. Not only those here, but all of mankind. Tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. Come with me to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. As we think about precious things, and let's begin with verse 1. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, now watch this, and precious. As living stones are, you also, as living or lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And to you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. What is Jesus to you? I know that Jesus is on the mind of a lot of people during this part of the calendar year. But I wish it was more on the mind of people throughout the entire year. And for the right reasons. But He's precious. Salvation cannot be accomplished by anything that I could do for myself or for anyone else. So far as coming up with a plan. We know that we have personal responsibility in our salvation. But folks, had Jesus not came to the earth, there's nothing that we could ever have done to have been saved. I'm glad I know you. I hope you can say the same about me. Don't answer out loud. But I think about Acts chapter 4, verse 12. When the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so that reminds me that you could go to heaven without ever knowing who I am. If you never heard me preach before, if you never had the opportunity to shake my hand, if you never knew who I was, you could still hear the gospel, believe it, obey it, live it, and go to heaven in the after while. But you can't say that about Jesus. Because if you don't know Him and who He was and what He did, there's no way we can go to heaven. So how precious is He to you? Oh, preacher, he's precious to me. Have you obeyed him? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And so he's precious to us. But also, if you come with me as we think about precious things, to the book of Psalms. Psalm 49. Begin with verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Now, we've already talked about redemption. Nor give to God a ransom for him. For you have not been redeemed with gold and silver. That's what this verse is talking about. You can't give a ransom out of your bank account for someone else. Redemption is not made by a tangible thing, by the gold and silver and money and so forth. But watch verse 8. In parentheses, he's qualifying what he's saying. He's giving additional information to what has just been said. For the redemption of their soul, what is it? Is precious and it ceaseth forever. So I want to point out to you that redemption, our salvation, is something that is precious. A lot of the world lives their lives day in and day out without ever thinking about spiritual things. Never thinking about the judgment to come. Never thinking about their relationship with God. Never thinking about what Jesus did for them. But yet the Bible says that redemption is precious. In Ephesians chapter 1. And so that tells me that a lot of people are not really thinking about that which is truly precious. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, talking about Jesus, he says, in whom we have redemption through or by his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, Ephesians 1, 7, Hebrews 9, 12 talks about redemption. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, as we've already pointed out. I know that there's nothing that I could do to deserve what God has done for me. But I esteem salvation very precious, because though I don't deserve it, God was willing to make provision for our salvation. A great price, as we've already talked about, was paid so that would even be possible. And so it's very precious to me. I trust to you, and it ought to be to others. One more precious thing, and we'll talk about some more, Lord willing, this evening. Come with me back to the book of Psalms. Preacher, I already know all this. Well, good for you. But if you don't, then I want you to be aware of them. And if you already do, then it's good for us to be reminded of things. In verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, we've talked about what ought to be precious to us and what is precious to us. Inspiration declared all the things we've talked about as being precious. But here's something that is precious from God's viewpoint. Precious to Him. Precious in His sight. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Can you finish that? Is the death of His saints. That can't be said for everybody. But it's said about the saints of God. About those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now, it can be said, if you'll obey, you'll be put in that category too. of God's saints. Being set apart, that's what the word saint has to do, is sanctified, set apart for the use. A particular use. We've been set apart. Called out of the world of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1. And in verse 13. When it comes my time that my earthly pilgrimage is over, and I close my eyes to drift off into eternity, I can do so with the assurance of that Scripture in Psalm 116, verse 15, that precious in the sight of the Lord is even my death, if I've obeyed Him. You want that to be able to be said about you? It begins by making the choice this morning that you're going to obey. Man is a creature of choice. The Bible has a lot to say about making choices. Will you obey it? Maybe you're asking the question, how do I obey? How do I become a Christian? Hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing it. Mark 16, verse 16. Repenting of your sins, Acts 3, verse 19. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8, 37. And being baptized, whereby you can call on the name of the Lord in obedience, Acts 22, 16. And the precious blood of Christ will wash away all your sins, Revelation 1, 5. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You've turned your back on the Lord. You're not living as you should, but you want to come home. You want to be restored. You want to start anew. Now's the time to do that. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never be. But you have right now. Why not repent of your unfaithfulness? Make confession of those things. We'll pray with you for you. Don't delay. Come right now.